You're listening to WIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for Musical Talk. Want to let you know that WIR programming is supported by founding underwriter Sticky Rice, offering a full to-go menu across the street at Sticky To-Go-Go. Sticky To-Go-Go provides carry-out and delivery, featuring sushi, tater tots, salads, entrees, noodles, and more, plus a variety of gifts and accessories in the Sticky Rice gift shop. All available from 11 a.m. until late night, 7 days a week. Menus and information are available at 804-358-2633 and at stickytogogo.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, Sticky To-Go-Go. And today we have a very special interview with Dengue Fever guitarist Zach Holtzman. And they've got a new album coming out called Cannibal Courtship. So stay tuned. In the next hour, we will be hearing from Zach Holtzman of Dengue Fever. And also hearing, brand new tracks from that album. It's being released on April 19th. So we got it first. Here on If Music Could Talk. That's Dengue Fever. And all kinds of other good stuff coming up too. I'm going to start off with Indonesian singer Aida Royani. And the song is Perahuku. In the background, J Dilla and Tikwiti from Dilla Joints. The Roots doing J Dilla, tribute to J Dilla, the late great. And here's Aida Royani, Perahuku.
Go out on that qu'elle t'a trompé. Et tu as du chagrin. Oui, dis-toi que c'est la fin.
Myself and I. Just me, myself, and I.
My person by stating I'm darkly packed. I know this, so I point at Q-Tip and he states,
black is black. nation. Got my feet on the ground, and I'm standing on my own. I don't need no one, I don't need no one. I've learned a lot of life, watching other folks' mistakes, but wanting things that they can get, but finding out too late. I got my feet on the ground, and I'm standing on my own. I don't need no one, I don't need no one. Well, I don't need nobody else, all I need's a single ticket. When I travel on my own, not afraid to be alone. I got my feet upon the ground, and I'm standing on my own. Well, I travel far and wide, looking for funny clover. Don't mind if I can find it, got no chip upon my shoulder. Got my feet on the ground, and I'm standing on my own. I don't need no one, I don't need no one. Well, I don't need nobody else, all I need's a single ticket. When I travel on my own, not afraid to be alone. I got my feet upon the ground, and I'm standing on my own. Well, I travel far and wide, look for four-leaf clover. Don't mind if I can find it, got no chip upon my shoulder. Got my feet on the ground, and I'm standing on my own. I don't need no one, I don't need no one. I don't need no one, I don't need no one. I don't need no one, I don't need no one.
Along so fast. Oh gosh, there's someone behind me. What is that? Just a forest sound. Keep running, don't stop now. Faster, don't slow down. Faster, don't slow down. Oh gosh, it is someone hiding behind a tree. Yes, moving and smiling shyly. Oh boy, it's a girl, just for me. It's a girl, just for me. Oh gosh, she's running away. She's running into the thicket. I yelled with all my might, please come back quick. Please come back quick.
Dali, oyna bana, dali, hobi dali dali.
Yeah, you just heard that was Naji Kevser Selimova from a compilation of Turkish Romani music, new sounds from the Near East, and that was on Monitor Records, released back in the 60s. Kevser Selimova, beautiful voice. Before her, we heard Rebecca and the Sunnybrook Farmers. That's a kind of a rare psychedelic record, psych folk record, which was released on Musicore Records out of New York. And that song was Oh Gosh, Running Through the Forest. We also heard Creedence Clearwater Revival, Who'll Stop the Rain, and you'll hear maybe one of the reasons why I played that song, although I love that song. That was a live version of CCR, Who'll Stop the Rain. We also heard The Kinks, Got My Feet on the Ground. We heard Dungan, Gor Det Nu. We also heard De La Soul, a Bad Marsh and Shri mix, Me, Myself, and I. César et Le Roman did a fatalistic, very depressing song in French, en français, C'est la fin, but we faded that one out into a very nice mix of Me, Myself, and I, and started off with Aida Royani, Perahaku. So you're listening to If Music Could Talk. It's almost 7:30, and I think it's just about time to start that interview. What do you think? We got an interview here with Zach Holtzman, guitarist of Dengue Fever, and lots of good clips from their brand new album that is being released on April 19th. It's Cannibal Courtship. So we'll start that interview off right after this song. This is from CD compilation Radio Phnom Penh on Sublime Frequencies, and this is a song. There are several versions of this. Actually, Dengue Fever does a version of this one. It's Srai Moi Khao, and translates to Glass of Wine. And this is a version from a radio broadcast in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Oh, in the background, credit to the birds that have been singing at 2 a.m. in the morning. I turned on the tape recorder just so you could hear a little bit of that jazz.
At 5 o'clock, Love FM 975, with 5, don't wanna let you go.
Oh, is Zach Holtzman from Dengue Fever, and you're listening to WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio, 97.3.
With Zach Holtzman, guitarist and one of the main songwriters of the group. And the new album is called Cannibal Courtship. And that's coming out April 19th. And you're doing a record release, right, out in L.A. on the same night.
Yeah, we're gonna play the Troubadour, and then we're going to do a West Coast tour and go up to San Francisco and play the Fillmore. And then come just work our way up to... I think we stop in Seattle. I think the Vancouver. I'm not sure if the Vancouver show is still happening.
Yeah, I saw about 10 dates on your website so far, and I know you'll probably be adding more to that, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fillmore is a great venue. I mean, man, that's gonna be fun. And I don't know about the Troubadour.
Yeah, the Troubadour is smaller. It's got, you know, it's been around for years. It's kind of legendary.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw my first punk rock show there ever.
Well, so this new album, Cannibal Courtship, is on Fantasy Records. Is that a new label for you?
New for us, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know Fantasy Records, right? They've been around for years. Lots of, like, you know, Coltrane and lots of jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
Thelonious Monk and Mingus and everybody.
Fantasy and Concord, are they based out of L.A. or...?
Yeah, they used to be up in the Bay Area. But then they moved down to down to LA.
Yeah.
And they got a studio too that we got to use, and it's got all the old gear that a lot of their recording artists used to use.
Wow.
You know, like I think Creedence Clearwater Revival used a lot of the gear, and I can only imagine who else, because some of these microphones have been around since, like, you know, the 50s.
That's an art in itself. Those old microphones are just beautiful, some of them. It sounds like you guys are definitely using a new studio. I wanted to ask you about the cover of the new album. It shows Nimal holding this hybrid kind of half guitar, half something else instrument. Can you tell me what that is, and what symbolism that instrument has for you as a band right now?
Yeah, yeah. I've always played a Fender Jazzmaster.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And so the instrument is, it's one that my friend built me, and it's half, the top half of it is a Fender Jazzmaster, and the bottom half is a traditional Cambodian instrument called the Chapai Dong Vang, which means, like, long neck guitar.
Yeah.
And it's this one that when we were there recording with the master musicians, this guy Kong Nai,
yeah,
musician Kong Nai, who's, he's like this blind kind of like Ray Charles kind of Cambodian musician who just rips on the chapai.
Yeah.
So that instrument, it kind of, we have like the Cambodian element, and then we have the Western Fender guitar that are combined, so it's kind of like, and the title, you know, Cannibal Courtship, it's like both cultures kind of feeding off of each other and just being inspired by each other.
Yeah, and the combination of those two instruments actually turns out to be a pretty beautiful looking thing. It's not something that actually looks like it shouldn't exist. It looks like it probably should have existed at some point. So your friend built that for you?
Yeah, my friend Mel built it for me.
Yeah.
And it's called a Mastodon. We had a little competition to name it, and then the one that won was Mastodon.
That's great. So are you teaching yourself how to play that instrument? You've got to rewrite the book with that thing.
Well, some of our songs have a little bit of chapai mixed in with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Jimmy Page. Like, some of the songs, like, he's got a little bit of 12-string guitar, so he's got his double-neck guitar where he's able to strum away on that and then go to his regular 6-string when he needs to.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with this one. Like, I'll be able to play the parts that I play on the chapai, and then without stopping mid-song, just kind of switch to the 6-string.
Oh man, that's awesome. So with the chapai, were you actually learning how to play traditional chapai from some of these musicians over there when you were like filming the documentary and doing things like that?
Not like how I probably should,
right,
just
of course.
Just kind of watch them real closely and listen to the recordings.
Yeah.
And just try to copy them.
Yeah.
But I bought a regular like acoustic chapai, and I've been practicing on that.
Yeah.
And that's I gave it to the builder to get his measurements from and just be inspired by.
Yeah. Yeah.
ខែមរារងកម្មយ៉ាំមិនភ្លេចបីឆ្នាំខ្ទុំខ្ទេចរិចរអស់កើឃើញតែប្រមោឈាមជាតិស្រស់ក្បាន់ក្បត់ទូរយងប្រឡៃខ្មែរ
Are the rest of the members, are they still all part of the band?
Yeah, it's always been same lineup. Like,
yeah.
My brother and I started the band together.
Right.
And then we went looking for a singer. We found Chomney Mall.
Yeah.
Down in Long Beach, she was singing at a club called the Dragon House. And we asked her if she wanted to sing for our band. And then we got our friend Paul Smith to play drums. And I asked my friend Seenan Williams to play bass. I told him we'd buy all the beer and that we'd pick him up and bring him home and lug his equipment around and he said sounds good, but that only lasted for probably a month, and then it got down to the reality, and everybody does tons in the band. And then Dave Rolicky, our horn player, he never even practiced with us the first time, and we just told him to go to the first show, and he's so good. He's jumped up and was able to just like take ripping solos on any tune, and just it's been the same lineup ever since.
And you've added some other singers too. I'm hearing who are the Living Sisters?
The Living Sisters are Eleni Mandel, Alex Lilly, and Anara George, and Becky Stark. They're a really great band. based here in Los Angeles, and I've always just loved going to see their shows, and they usually just play with like one or two guitars and the three of them doing three-part harmonies.
Yeah.
So Anara actually, she sings in that band, The Bird and the Bee, also.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, so we asked them to sing back up, and they said yes, and it was amazing. We thought they were just going to do like four or five songs, but it was sounding so good that we just kept, how about this one, you know, and they're such good musicians that they we're able to just kind of learn it all on the fly.
Yeah, and I'm sure Nimal probably, you know, enjoys having some backup vocals there to kind of play off of too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she does.
It's been, I guess, 3 years since Venus on Earth came out. But then you released a film, Sleepwalking Through the Mekong, and mm-hmm. a CD, a soundtrack that went with that. And then also this compilation, Electric Cambodia.
Yeah.
So you and your brother had this collection of classic Khmer songs. And
yeah. And we also were able to, our friend John Prozzi, who made that documentary, Sleepwalking Through the Mekong, he has a huge collection of songs. And so we kind of dug through his catalog, too.
So you guys have been really busy the whole time, and you've also been traveling quite a bit. I know you made that one trip to make the film. How many times now have you been over to Cambodia as, you know, you or as a group?
As a band?
Yeah.
We've been there twice as a band, once when we made that documentary.
Yeah.
And then the other time we went over to play a show for the U.S. Embassy that's in Phnom Penh.
Right.
And they were celebrating, I think it was like 30 or 40 years of the U.S. Embassy being, you know, the good relations between us and Cambodia. So that was a really, really fun show to be a part of. And we got to play in this Friendship Plaza for probably the most people we've ever played for.
Wow.
There was like Cambodians, like, as far as I could see, just like the whole plaza was just filled, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. And that was just this past year, right? This past summer?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
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 So was it different at all this year, this time when you went over than the first time you went? I mean, how was it different?
Yeah, it was different because, like, the first time, people heard rumors about, you know, what Chomni Mall was up to. They heard, like, she was singing with some Hollywood band or something, and, you know, they just, I don't know what they picture. But then as soon as we got there, we played on CTN, which is Cambodian Television Network, and they broadcast, it was like a three-hour show, and they broadcasted it, like, four or five times a day, like, every day for while we were there. So pretty much, like, we'd be driving in a little van, like, going out somewhere, you know, and, like, hours out of town, and then we'd, like, hike up all these, like, stone stairs to the top of some ruins, and then, like, a monk, like, came out of this one old monastery, like, ruins, and looked at us and pointed his finger, and he's all, dengue fever.
Wow. So he actually knew who you guys were.
Yeah, so, like, you know, so that was, like, our kind of introduction to Cambodia. This last time that we were there, we pretty much, like, were just booked nonstop. We just stayed at this hotel and had all these people coming over to kind of, you know, do interviews, and we'd just hang around and have delicious food and hang out in this saltwater pool.
Wow.
Hang out in it so much that I got an ear infection.
Oh, no. I hope that didn't put you out too long.
It was kind of funky, you know, because we were still on tour, and, yeah, we went to, like, we stopped in Korea to go to the airport, I don't know what, like, in transition, you know, and I bought some medication, and it didn't do the trick, and then I bought some more when we were in Hong Kong, and it didn't do the trick. I tried, like, pouring, like, alcohol and, like, vodka in my ear, and that just got me drunk.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding. nothing worked, though. It was bad. Then I went to the doctor after I got home, and everything was okay.
Yeah, well, those things happen when you travel. I'm glad you didn't, you know, get something worse, but that's pretty bad for a musician, at least. Have
yeah.
your ear on fire.
Yeah.
So actually, I've seen some video clips online. I don't know where this was, where you guys recently played, but you had a traditional Chapai player like sitting on a chair with smoke going around him and everything in a live concert. Are you bringing some of these musicians out and playing with them now?
No, that was probably in Cambodia.
Oh, okay.
And that was probably Kong Nai, Master uh-huh. Kong Nai. Because, yeah, that would be really fun, you know, if we were able to bring some of them with us.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, that'd be great. I'd love to do that.
It would, and I'm sure they'd really enjoy it, too. I mean...
Yeah. We bumped into Kong Nai. He does tour. We bumped into him at a few WOMAD festivals.
Oh, wow.
Those ones that Peter Gabriel kind of puts on.
Yeah. And Peter Gabriel actually had some part in releasing your last album, or am I totally off the mark with that?
He released it in, I don't know if it's just England, or I think it's probably just like the UK. And then we went and recorded at his studio and played a show there, and it was really fun. He's got this beautiful studio that has like, it's an old mill from like, I think the 1800s or something, and it's got like a river flowing underneath it, and it's a really, really amazing place, and we got to like stay in this house right next to it, and there's a chef that would just cook us food, and all we got to do is just focus on playing music.
You got a plug from Ray Davies somewhere along the line too. It was
we played the Jules Holland show in London. It's this like show where he has like five bands kind of set up all facing each other,
uh-huh.
and they like he just like points to the band and then they play a song and then you know and then they take a break or whatever and then he points to another band and like Ray Davies was the his special guest that night.
Oh wow.
And then he kept like wanting to talk about us.
That's cool.
Like he's like, what about these guys? And then he's like, he was really nice.
Well, you gotta love the Kinks, man. I mean,
yeah.
So back to your album. You mentioned you recorded this in the Fantasy Records Studios, and there's a lot of new stuff going on that, from what I can hear. Were there any things that, you know, specifically that you were able to do on this album in this studio or using different equipment that you weren't able to do before that you're really excited about?
We recorded it in like three different studios. Two of them, one of them was Fantasy's recording studio, which is at The Village, which mm-hmm. is here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then we also used another room at The Village, which is downstairs, which was this really big room. Where we got like bigger drums are the most important thing to have the right space for, because if you have like too small of a room, the drums just don't sound very good. So you need like all this air, and you need all the walls to be like, you know, non-parallel walls, and so we got to do some amazing stuff there. They had this one like echo chamber that we set up a mic in, and we'd like pump the drums in there, and so we got to have like all these, you know, kind of really dark, sort of crazy reverb out drum tones to mix into the songs.
Yeah.
And then we had all those great microphones for the girls to sing on. And then we fixed up our studio too. We have a studio, and we got some new, like some Universal Audio, kind of good preamps and compressors to just make everything sound a lot better, and we'd throw it down on tape too. I don't know how technical your listeners.
We've got a lot of musicians in Richmond that tune into this show, so I mean, go as deep with that stuff as you want.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess, you know, you're able to get like with the when you put stuff on tape, you're able to get like better tones because you're able to like really hit the tape with like your drums and bass.
And
so we would do a lot of that, and then we would kind of then throw it back into Pro Tools and lay all the different, have the benefit of all the different tracks and mixing capabilities and editing stuff. But then we also have like, you know, the good old just tape.
Yeah, the saturated real sound of a tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those were some of the things.
I noticed on that that track, Cement Slippers, I think I'm hearing distortion on the saxophone. Is that right? Like some buzzed?
Yeah, I was there when he was recording, when Dave was recording that, as his baritone. And we put it through this old compressor that was made by RCA. It's called the DA6A. And it was used for radio broadcasting. The thing is so... That piece of equipment is like so heavy and massive with these like giant transformers and tubes and it just really, I'm not sure if that's the only thing that got used on that. Like he might have been playing through some other pedal, because Dave plays, he has a lot of pedals that he runs his instruments through.
Yeah.
But he did that in one take, and he did like five solos, and they're all just crazy. We're like, oh my god, maybe we should edit all these together.
And it's amazing. I thought it was you coming in with like Jimi Hendrix style solo, and then I realized that's a saxophone.
Oh man, I had a whole solo all laid out for that one too, but he beat me, so we kept in his.
Hi, my name is Tamni Mol. I'm a singer from Dengue Fever. You're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio.
Yeah, that's right. And you're listening to an interview with Zach Holtzman of Dengue Fever and brand new tracks from their forthcoming album, Cannibal Courtship. And special thanks to Dengue Fever. I'm really glad that they got in touch with me about this new album and gave me the chance to share some of this stuff with you. It's almost 8 o'clock. We're going to hear a brief interlude by Santo and Johnny. This is Brazilian Summer.
Thank you.
know, your playing sounds just amazing on this album. I'm hearing this like really cool guitar counterpoint with the Farfisa on 2012 Bury Our Heads. I always noticed that about your guitar lines. It just has this sort of counterpoint, these stair steps of intervals that are playing with the other instruments. It's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, that one was kind of a grandiose number. It's kind of like what's his name? It's like that Italian director who does the horror stuff.
Not Morricone.
You know, the Italian horror.
Sorry, man. I'll look it up.
Anyway, some of the parts like have that kind of feel, and then it has like this sort of like kind of like Beatles sort of feel, and then like a little bit of Afro groove kind of.
Only a friend that I was noticing that the percussion was really popping out, and then there's some.
Oh yeah, yeah. We also flew in our friend Nappy G from New York to do some percussion with us.
So is he on that one?
Yeah, he's on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Am I also noticing a lot more Khmer vocals, lyrics on this album? Is that correct?
It's about half and half. It's like Nimal's English has improved so much that, you know, I'd say about maybe five of the songs are in English and maybe like five of them are in Khmer, and then a couple of them are, like, one's an instrumental, and then a couple of them are, you know, combinations of, like, maybe Nimal singing Khmer for the verses, and then we'll do an English chorus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Khmer is such a beautiful language. I don't know. Are you learning to speak it?
Every time we go there, I just carry around a little notebook and just kind of learn little phrases.
Yeah. It's tough.
I haven't learned that much more, you know, unless I'm surrounded by Cambodians. I don't end up learning more.
Well, I can imagine you're finding yourself in that position quite often as a band, surrounded by Cambodians. And I mean, you're surrounded by Americans quite a bit too. I would probably assume that you've got a really diverse crowd now.
Yeah. There's all types that end up coming to the shows.
Yeah.
There's like, you know, like sometimes, you know, like this one time in Detroit, this girl's grandma, she jumped up on stage and sang a song with us.
Yeah.
And then like sometimes Vietnam vets will show up, like ended up like, you know, marrying a Cambodian woman. And then there's kids, you know, lots of like just young kind of indie rockers, whatever, who see us at like the other kind of festivals. It's what's bizarre. We're able to play like museum and like kind of artsy sort of centers.
Uh-huh.
And then we're also able to play like just like a club or this one festival. What was it called? Sasquatch. The Gorge. That was a cool festival.
Yeah. Just people getting down.
Yeah.
Something I also really appreciate about Dengue Fever is that you include songs in your repertoire that have those really dark, murky moments. And I'm hearing that, you know, like there's a song on here, Sister in the Radio. I don't know what that song's about, but...
Yeah, that one, Nimal, when our singer, when she was a kid, her family had to escape the Khmer Rouge from Cambodia, and they had to go to Thailand. And when they left, everything was so chaotic that they ended up getting separated from her sister. And so they were living in Thailand, and they didn't know whether her sister was alive or not. And they were listening to the radio, and all of a sudden they heard her singing on the radio. And Nimal was so little at the time that she was like, everyone was crying for joy, you know, realizing that her sister was alive. And then Nimal was so little that she thought that, like, she was trying to figure out how her sister got inside of the radio.
that's such a beautiful childhood story.
Yeah. She's all shaking it.
Oh, man. It's really cute, but really sad, too. I'm glad they were hopefully reunited soon after that.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah, it was Tom Charvin is her sister, and she's climbed up on stage with us and performed before.
Oh, awesome.
And we wanted her to sing on this album, but I guess she was out in Texas, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
speaking of family, there's a song on here, Family Business. What is the word family? How does that come into that song? And even in a broader sense, what does the word family mean to Khmer people that you've met?
Oh, well, in Cambodian culture, you know, everyone's, like, if you're friends with somebody, they call each other brothers and sisters, you know, and right. So that's, you know, when you're a friend, you sort of become family. But that song is about this girl who was born into a family that made those missiles, Sidewinder missiles, which are like these air-to-air missiles, you know, like one plane will shoot it at another plane, air-to-air they call it.
Yeah.
And so she was like born into this family of missile production, and she tried to escape it, you know, she went to college and like tried to kind of get out of it, but then the money was too good, and everyone just kind of loves to fight so much that, you know, missiles is a good industry making these sidewinders. And so she would she felt a little bit guilty about it, so she would carve like a little heart at the on one of the parts that her family manufactured, and she would carve a little heart like on the serial number. And that was her way of kind of like, you know, it's all okay because I'm carving a heart on this missile, you know?
That's like total tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. But one thing that worked out kind of cool was, like, they're air-to-air missiles, you know?
Yeah.
And then in the lyrics, I like, spelled, you know, it's also air-to-air, like H-E-I-R.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like she's an heir to this, like, missile company.
People have really... intense lives. It's just something, I guess, that makes good songwriting too. But I mean, you must hear a lot of stories when you're on the road and meeting all these people, you know, in Cambodia that just...
Yeah, I mean, I don't go, you know, when we're there, we don't go like endlessly bringing up all the hardest times and everyone's
I'm sure
lives,
you don't.
You know?
Yeah.
If it comes up, yeah.
It's seeking missile from air to air.
song Durian Dowry, I know there's got to be a story behind that one. I actually had my first durian this past summer when I was in Malaysia. It was interesting.
Oh, really?
Stuff.
Well, for those who don't know, durians are like this, they put up signs in front of hotels that say no guns, no knives, and no durian fruit because they're so stinky to some people's noses. But they're really sweet. And that song, I actually wrote it with a tuk-tuk driver. I wrote this one song in Khmer, and then I sang it for him, and then he's like, he's like, that doesn't make any sense. He's all, maybe in English. I'm all, no, I'm trying to write a song in, in Cambodian. And then, and so we sat down and wrote that song together.
Yeah.
It was about a guy who likes a woman, but he's way too poor, and her family doesn't approve of him, and so he can only dream about being with her, and maybe they'll be together in their next lives. So we had to switch around because Nimal's singing it, so we switched it around to her being the poor one.
Well, durian is actually considered a real prize to people who have a durian tree like near their house, right? It's very valuable to some people.
Oh yeah, yeah. You could picture that part, however, that little part of the song and the lyrics could kind of go in probably five different directions.
Interesting song on here, Uku. There's a lot of traditional sounds on there. Can you tell listeners what they're hearing on that track, Uku?
Yeah, they're hearing like my guitar and then these little chimes that we bought in Cambodia. They're ringing like every, they're kind of to the beat.
Yeah.
And then Dave comes in with some distorted flute, and then see what else, and then you hear, and then you pretty much just hear, like the rest of us, but, and then also the mastodon, you hear some of the chapai.
That must have been played. What I was hearing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, through some of the parts, I think I was playing through, like, this pedal that's, it's like a Moog pedal, a ring modulator, which turns guitar into almost, like, unrecognizable tones,
Yeah.
Can't really say that's a guitar anymore because it does all these weird like equations where it like takes the signal you're giving it and it it adds another signal to it, and then it also, it's like the sum and the difference and the signal that you're sending in, so you're hearing like these three tones kind of dealing with each other.
Yeah.
You can get some crazy tones with that, but that's a little, it's a little bit too much, like during a live show for me to be wrestling with that, with the ring modulator.
Yeah.
They have simpler versions, and they have ones that will automatically adjust, but you kind of miss out on some of the chaos when you have those.
Yeah. Guys pull off, I mean, at least 80-90% of this, all the psychedelic stuff that you do on the album, you actually pull that stuff off live, which is just amazing to me, and it's always really amazing to hear the swirling sounds that are coming out of the amps when you guys are playing. And I know you guys are a dance group in a lot of ways too. I mean, when you played here, I don't know how long you actually generally play. How long are your shows on average?
I'd say the average is probably like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Vietnam we played for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Are you...
It was so hot, man. It was so hot out.
Oh, man. And people, everyone's soaked, I mean, dancing the whole time and singing along.
Yeah.
You've got to be excited to be touring again. I mean, has it been a while since you've played in the States, or have you been playing shows here and there?
Well, we purposely tried to not go away because we wanted to finish our album.
Yeah.
But then we kept getting all these like really fun offers, like, you know, like come to France, you know, to play a show.
Yeah.
And so we had to go do that, and just a lot of other offers like that. Oh yeah, we went to Hawaii.
Yeah. That had to be nice.
They're really fun to go do, but it was also taken away from time to finish our album.
Yeah.
But now that it's all finished, it's time to hit the road again, and that's why, we're doing a big West Coast tour and a big East Coast tour, and then heading over to Europe.
That's awesome. You got to spend a lot of time keeping up with people all over the world, and I don't know if that's a priority or that's just something that you would want a band to do for you if you were into them, but, I mean, it's got to be exhausting.
It's a group thing. We're all together with, the people that when we're performing, it's like we like to not be up on some, untouchable, plateau or anything. We like being just, down with everyone going crazy together.
Yeah.
And we'll, we come out and try to meet and say hello as much as we can. And, this one show we played, one guy was like, yeah, he's like, I was watching your documentary when you were in Cambodia, and all of a sudden I saw myself in the crowd. Yeah, no, we don't have, people. We don't have, rooms filled with interns pretending to be us.
Right. Well, it's really cool. I wanted to ask you real briefly about Electric Cambodia and that compilation. I know there's an original of Shave Your Beard on there, and you've actually played that live. When you played here, you played that live. Are there any other Khmer originals that fans can expect to hear you play live? I think you played Shrai Mui Kiao one time. I'm probably not saying that right, but
that's Shrai Mui Kiao. Yeah, that's a glass of wine. Yeah, maybe we play that one sometimes. I'm not really sure what our set is going to look like. Now that we have this whole new album to kind of incorporate into it, so I imagine that we'll probably still play New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I really like that one, and I don't know. It just seems like we've played that one at every show we've ever played. Probably a reason.
Oh,
Yeah, that was the great Rosaré Sotia. And that was from, and Sin Sitamot, doing New Year's Eve from Dengue Fever Presents Sleepwalking Through the Mekong, the soundtrack to that documentary they came out with. And that song, Happy New Year, or New Year's Eve, you hear her say, Chol Chnam Tamai, which means enter the new year in Khmer. And actually that Khmer New Year is coming up on, I think, this year, April 13th, maybe 14th. And that's just several days, maybe less than a week before this album, Cannibal Courtship, comes out on the 19th. So you heard Zach say there's probably a reason why they play that song every show. I think they've got a thing for New Year's because it seems like they're always really active around that time of year, Khmer New Year. So we'll wish them a happy new year on that day when their album comes out. And we'll just hear a brief finish to this interview. And thanks for listening, and thanks to Zach Holtzman of Dengue Fever for speaking with me about their forthcoming record. You're listening to If Music Could Talk, but I'll let Daniel Johnston tell you that.
This is Daniel Johnston, and you are listening to WRIRLP 97.3 FM. Thank you a lot. Bye-bye.
We've been, you know, just kind of just getting ready for tour and also messing around with even some other songs that, you know, didn't necessarily make it onto the album, but still just needed a little bit of work. So we've just kind of been getting ready and then kind of having fun recording more tunes.
Well, you've got to be excited, man. I'm really happy that you guys had this album coming out, and I'm really excited to hear it. So I really appreciate you spending the time and talking with me.
Sure.
Hey, keep Virginia and DC in mind if you're thinking about planning a tour, East Coast tour out here, man. Keep me posted on any East Coast tour dates.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, we'll put them up on our website, and I think we're coming to play the Black Cat in D.C.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Pretty sure that's where we're coming.
Okay.
Hope to see you at the show.
Thanks a lot, Zach.
Okay, nice talking with you.
Thanks a lot, man. Peace.
Okay, bye.
Rock, rock.
You're listening to A Musical Talk on WIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready, the numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you, once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, happy Sunday evening. I hope everyone's having a beautiful sunny Sunday after noon. And up next is Rising Sun by Kicksnare. Erykah Badu from New America Part 2, Return of the Ankh. And stay tuned for Can't Stop the Music, special guest, Reverend Noah. Up next, we got two more tracks, maybe three. Yeah, probably two. Fat John, the Ample Soul Physician. Another sunny Sunday song, Sun Rain. two more tracks, one by Pink Floyd from a 45, a very rare cut. It would be so nice. Sometimes I say that to myself on a Sunday. It would be so nice if tomorrow weren't Monday. But hey, stay positive, everybody. Tomorrow is a beautiful day.
Ulan dagoan, ulan tulungan. Anjeun ku sukunjung ulah-ulah.